Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Here Be Monsters Radio. This is the Sunday show at 6 p.m. I'm down here in Florida. Jack is in Minnesota, and Wayne is in Ohio. And thank you for joining us. At the top, gentlemen, I'd like it to be known, just to be known, that I love my dad, my uncles, no matter the ridiculous. I fell in love with a boy. I'm definitely in love with many men, all company included, and I'm still a tomboy at heart.
Well, bless you, doll. Bless you.
Week I saw Wonder Woman and took note that in my youth the princess brides and the galactic princesses have all grown into generals. And in the myth of the woman in America, in context to the greed, the hate, the elitism, the gross subjugation of humanity by patriarchy for globally at least 6,000 years. That's got to come to a conclusion. I watched today a video. I think that David actually posted it, of the president. Oh, I hate saying that.
Oh.
Volume of DOT, that's the Department of Transportation, documents on what he considered, quote, unnecessary and burdensome environmental reviews, unquote, with comments including, quote, nobody's going to read it, and they don't even know what it's all for, unquote, for the Institute of the Glory of Pure Profiteering by private industry who shall bribe the most for contracts. And I know something of the DOT, how it works and runs. I worked for a 5-foot, 3-inch megamite who climbed the stairs on State Street in Boston every weekday. She was in town in 5-inch heels to face the DOT versus the DC two-step. And she championed integrity as her go-between government and private contractor at her PR company. I worked for Media Boston International, corralling interns for over a year as I was writing my catalog for my business. And we were responsible for messaging between government and industry. Now, that woman, that mighty, that Meggie, I called her Mega Heel or Mighty Heels. Her name was Mish Nadeem. And she taught me about how to finesse integrity between those two incredibly burdened institutions with the art of, I got to tell you guys, great phone and conviction. That would be convincing them that what their best assets were in achieving their goals was lawfully attuning to the actions of Congress, including the environmental concerns that was actually a huge part of what the DOT contends with in building and in infrastructure, as you smart gentlemen probably know. But today, that masquerading son of a motherfucking bitch has no idea of any of the dangers he's conjuring in dismissing and throwing away DOT's environmental standards. And I give you Flint, Michigan, Republican-run policy, and thousands of children and young adults mentally and physically maimed for life because the government thought to step aside the EPA guidelines for clean water. It's ironic that the EP dismantling by executive order, you can pick your teeth on that one, from the White House was engineered into existence, guys. It was, and I know this, it was engineered into existence via quid pro quo with another president. So shameful. by Jackson, Horton, and Kennedy with a multitude of other Congress people at the time. Quid pro quo, read, they blackmailed the son of a bitch. My point is, it has to be a woman's world, gentlemen. Mother love must drape over this world, and America is still the light on the shining hill. Yeah, that was a good thing he said, in my opinion, where it needs to happen, because I am an American. You know, all of us are. And Jack, you are always coming from a place of pride and frustration over what has happened.
Oh,
and
God.
I mean, to tell you, it still has to become a woman's world. And as myths spread, like Wonder Woman and General Orgama and Maxine Waters and Kristen Gillibrand, who I adore, for finally this week saying publicly, fuck no. Let me tell you something here.
I'm glad she, as time has gone on, she's become less inhibited. She's really let herself go, and that's great. That's a good thing.
New Yorkers would never let a man like Donald Trump stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. Never.
Right. Right.
He lies as he breathes. He lies as he breathes. And that's what I got to say to kick off the day. It's going to be a woman's world. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be matriarchy or patriarchy. It has to become healing, nurturing. We have to heal. And if we don't heal ourselves and heal this planet, my nephew's children's children will be known. They won't be here. Wayne's grandchildren will not be here. This is the vitality of how crisis point we're at. And what is rising up is a huge, huge swell of that, what I call, and you guys are used to me saying this, goddess energy, and it's mother love. It's healing. We've had enough of that. Father love has gone crazy. Mother love has to come in. Okay, I'm off my soapbox, Jeff.
Well, the
go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's so true, Gwen, and father love is you coined it is bankrupt these days under Trump. That guy has all he has love for is himself and money. That's all he cares about, you know. And you can't run a country, you can't run anything, you can't run a club with attitudes like that or values like that. So God help this country. We're stuck with this idiot for now, and we got to get rid of him. He's bad news from the word go.
Well, it's not only this idiot, Jack, but this is exactly what Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are also pushing in the House and Senate. And, you know, let me just, for the listeners here now, I know that you two know this. It's kind of a little quick civics lesson. It doesn't matter that Trump lies. It doesn't matter that he committed obstruction of justice. Not going to matter that he is the crookedest of the crookedest and making soliciting treasonous acts against his own country that he now is sitting as president of, because the civics lesson is here. Paul Ryan and the House, it takes them to impeach. It takes Mitch McConnell and the Senate to remove him from the office.
Uh-huh.
Those two are going to make sure none of that happens.
Exactly.
So we not only have, now the important thing is, and the listeners, you didn't show up at the polls. 46% of those who could have voted never bothered showing up for the polls in this last election. Henceforth, you got what you did not vote for, because you're out.
And let's hope it's different in 18 and 20. Let's hope that people really take their civic responsibility to heart and really act upon it and vote these guys completely out of office, because they're anti-democracy. They're not democratic in the least amount of the word. They're anti-democracy. They don't like regular people having any say whatsoever. They want to have all the power go to the wealthy and to people that support them. That's all they care about.
It is representation by who has paid me to do so.
Exactly right. Good way to put it, Wayne. Very true.
But you know, you know, that it's always, I heard this argument somewhere this week, that it's always the salt of the earth that goes Republican. And since the salt of the earth, but the salt of the earth goes Republican these days because they get fed a series of fairy tale lies that are obvious, and then come along another, you know, a huge liar. I mean, come on, guys. We listen to some of that stuff. Simply, if you only watch the debates, you got the cap full and the gallon full of lies the guy is capable of contriving. There's nothing, I don't think, that comes out of his mouth anymore that isn't a bald-faced lie. And
he's a carnival barker. He's a huckster.
Yeah, exactly right.
But
con jobs all the way.
The salt of the earth voted for him. Well, no, really, a lot of Republican women did, where we thought they wouldn't, because they thought it doesn't matter if he brings the economy to heel and he brings down, you know, our deficits and he puts out more profit or more jobs and all of that. They bought into that line of it, thinking that there's still that kind of you know, line running through the conservative nature of politics.
That's such a fallacy.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, hey, my mom was Republican, and when I did my poli sci term on FDR, she said, Franklin Deficit Roosevelt.
Republicans, look at Reagan, he ran the deficit way up. So did
it
Bush.
It was Clinton who was giving us a ballot budget, left it a surplus that W. Bush ran into the ground any benchmarks we've ever had before. Obama has come in, started to come after they destroyed the whole world economy with its con jobs and scams and, you know, any kind of laws of banking and checks and balances in banking.
Yeah.
Obama got it back on track. We are heading in the right direction. And guess what? We are now got bills that totally put us right back to where we were in 2006, 2007. Giving us the exact same conditions that we had when they destroyed the economy 10-plus years ago. I'm going to give you a quote from Albert Einstein, which is one of my favorite. Albert Einstein said, "Definition of idiocy is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result." Well,
right.
Guess what, folks? Prepare to have your damn 401k's, your retirement funds plummeted and purged.
Well, Republicans have been running on this fiscal conservatism and fiscal responsibility kick for way too long, and it's a big lie, you know. And you just illustrated why, Wayne, with Clinton and Obama having brought down the deficit the way they did, and they accuse the Democrats of spending wildly. Those days are long gone, and they only existed for a little time during LBJ's reign. You know, and a little bit beyond that, but not too much more. And the party of fiscal responsibility these days is the Democratic Party, and I wish they would Ike and people like that and FDR that actually put forward all kinds of jobs plans that really worked and got people working again. We need that.
Absolutely. You guys are always quite right. You're pointing out that big money is, but I'm going to say this too. It's not the same big money that it always was either. We're talking about Mercer. We're talking about these kinds of people. I mean, this is not the same group that, you know, established railroads, which I know. Don't go there, Jack. I know.
Well, they were monopolistic in the early days, the robber barons and all those guys. But we have modern-day robber barons that make those guys look like choir boys.
Very well stated, Jack.
These guys established industry. They established industry, especially when it was called for because of war.
Right.
Let's not forget what this country achieved in a matter of months in World War II. I mean, come on.
Incredible.
And they don't call her Rosie the Riveter for nothing either.
Well, we weren't a service economy in those days. We were a manufacturer, and it's terrible that we've delegated all the manufacturing jobs over to China and Indonesia and Vietnam. That's terrible, and it's bad for our country.
Yeah, but Jack, there is a massive evolution going on over this very tool, this planetary consciousness we're working with at this moment, of entrepreneurial business people who are taking it up in their own hands, people who, you know, just the salt of the earth, who are doing their own little thing. They're making their way along with dreams and hopes. You talk about the American dream.
It's always been the entrepreneurial spirit, always.
Go over there and take a look at the American dream. You talk about the American dream. Well, go look on Yahoo stores. Go look on, there are thousands of people, and the more they grow because they have great creative ideas and the more they get out there, there, I mean, even in the fashion industry and in all kinds of PR.
Ivanka.
All these well, I don't use language like that, but the thing is that good industry has revoked and rebuked people like Ivanka.
Right,
and especially.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, they don't, and believe me, the big industry, the big manufacturer, the big sellers in this country, and employers and stores and in service industry and entertainment and fashion and all of them are looking very hard and seeing that you can't hoodwink the public. You just can't do it anymore because they're hip to their own mobility online, which unfortunately, as we know, is crucial to what happened during the election and those Russian hackers and all of the conspiracy crap that's out there. And I mean, you know, you really have to grow up in this world. And the one group, the one side of the street that is growing up the quickest, very obviously, let's talk about the day after inauguration. I'll keep going back to it. How many women?
For the Women's March?
Yeah. I mean,
it's incredible.
Women are fed
up.
And it just, it's, I mean, I'll ask you, Wayne, how's Carol taking things? I mean, is she pissed off?
Oh, Carol, you know, she's kind of an even, calm person. But she says, you know, if there's another rally for women in D.C., I had a niece, on my wife's side, who went up there right after Trump walked down his barely visible populated boulevard after he was sworn in.
Yeah.
Carol said that she would probably go out and be there in the crowd next time herself. And that is so unlike Carol, but that's how bad things have degraded for women's rights.
Well, the very fact that so many women rose up, you know, and had that... had the movement come to fruition and really do something and demonstrate, that was nothing short of incredible. We've been so so laid back and uninvolved for so long, and all of a sudden, man, the amount of organizing that's going on is just incredible, and it's all in reaction to a horrible man called Donald Trump. And he represents.
The henchmen in the House, the Republican henchmen in the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we have people in there, and we spoke about this a few weeks ago on the radio here. I encourage people listening to Google the Full Quiver Project. In other words, the quiver is where you put your arrows in a little pouch in your back. It is what the Southern Baptist Conference is. Their mandate for women to not even have control of their child-giving bearing rights so that they can have more white people, white young men, to be able to fight the upcoming battles here that's going to be in this country. And it's insane.
It is absolutely.
The right-wing Klansman kind of mentality that's coming out of these people's minds.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in Congress. They are populating your police forces. They're getting themselves into state and local governments. This is the real danger, folks.
And there's billionaire libertarians launching them all the time and funding them, and they're like the Mercers and the Kochs, and these people they're downright evil. They're bad people any way you look at it, and they're doing it very sneakily behind the scenes. They don't want to get in the public spotlight and get grilled like they should have happened to them. They want to do it on their own time, their own way, and at their own pace, and they want to. They're throwing so much money behind all these crazy causes that don't do a damn thing for anybody, really, except billionaires.
Jack,
that's all it does.
But Jack, here's the thing though. People don't. We're the uncommon folk in the nation of voters who pay attention to more than just the nightly news. We find out about situations, and there are more women than there are men.
We do a little detective work. We do a little investigative reporting or investigative journalism on our own.
And the truth is these days that you have to intuit the truth. But here's something that has happened in the last week. There's been spits and spats on national networks. I would refer to Fox, NBC, CBS, and ABC. These are what the majority of Americans every night sit down to at 7 o'clock or 6:30 and watch. And that's where they gasp their news. This week, for the first time, they got the full grasp of what's going on in D.C. They listened to a man who's 6'4", who is a very well-made man, who has a gentle demeanor, sit down and explain to Congress that he knew from the very first time he walked in and sat down with this president, that our president-elect at the time, that he was going to have to detail memo or memorandum everything that ever got said between them, because he knew that the man was corrupt. He didn't say that, but I say it. He knew the man was corrupt. He knew that there was going to be trouble, and he knew there was trouble on the stove anyways for him.
Ample evidence of complete lies coming out of Trump's mouth. And good for you, Comey. I'm glad you had the brights to see that, and you're able to document it. Good for you.
Well, would you like to be a fly on the wall having a drink with him and the boys after one of these sessions? I mean,
Well, Gwen, that is with our intelligence agencies, those who listen to foreign spy agents, they know that there was deals being made seditiously. They were soliciting seditious actions against our democratic elections that would favor them. This isn't just the president, but this is basically the whole Republican upper management now that was working with Russians to spy and make false statements, put in false emails into Hillary's regular email stuff to make her look corrupt. And people bought it. They swallowed the hook, line, and sinker. But now they're finding out it was all seditious, treasonous actions.
Jesus, if you listen to my lefty buddies, you know, they're still friggin', you know, everybody hates Putin and it's a red herring. Well, you know, first of all, the point has been made on these nightly networks. Here is the guy who brings the FBI director into his office, throws the attorney general out, which was, of course, stupid.
That's very Freudian, by the way.
He does not say a goddamn word about what has happened to our country. What is the crisis here? How did they do this? No. what he says to him is, get rid of it. And it's kind of obvious. Now, I don't know what the complicity of the Trump family is in this. Certainly the satellites around him are very complicit with GRU.
Well, look at Eric Trump this past week. It was revealed that he raised a lot of money for charity, but he put a lot of it into his pocket, too. The guy's as corrupt as the day is long.
they thought of their pockets on that.
Yeah.
The same thing. Oh, no. I mean, it's just incredible to watch, but I think we're meant to watch this. I think we're meant to know that this is how far it has gone, and this is what you've sold your soul to. And it's time to take your soul back. I know people who wouldn't really ever get into discussing politics this week who posted things like, you know, I can think of one brightly in my mind right now, someone who, very responsible person, very large business, very successful woman, a cosmopolitan lady who actually posted a picture of James Comey that said, my hero. Of course, she represents someone who pays attention, but is not like us, is not, you know, delved into it. But you can't fool all the people all of the time.
That's for sure.
And this has
good
come
quote.
To...
Very good quote.
This has come to... I don't know how far this is going to go. I don't know how complicit that POS in the White House is in this, because frankly, I don't give him the brains for a peanut, not a bit.
One thing is for sure, he has surrounded himself with the political opportunists who are as corrupt as the day is long, and they'll do anything they can to make money. They'll quash any federal agency or regulatory board just so that it can get out of the way so that they can make more money, and that's all they give a damn about. They don't give a shit about working people. They say they do, but they're liars.
Well
let me also do, during the convention in Cleveland, it came up where one congressman was talking with another group of congressmen, and Paul Ryan was there, and he made the statement, says, you know, he says, I think Trump's taking money from the Russians, for this election and stuff. He's selling us out. And Paul Ryan, and it's supposed to be recorded, but there's others who are standing around who have confirmed this statement, says, we will not talk about that anymore. This conversation never happened. Keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Typical.
So Paul Ryan, back in the convention in Cleveland, knew that Trump was illegally, seditiously committing treason against this country.
We don't know that he actually knew, but he had it pretty well figured. It's sort of jump and leap.
Okay, I'll go with that, sure.
But the thing is, to watch these Republicans carry water for Trump through the direct and now very vocal actualization of, yes, there was a breach as far as our friggin' voting machines. There was breach. It didn't happen, but they got that far. Oh, my freaking God. I mean, the implications of that just, I got a chill up my spine.
Look what Bush turned around Ohio in 2004 with crooked voting machines. You know, it's not the first time it's happened. It's terrible that it ever happens, and we got to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Well,
Jack, let me elaborate on that one, too. When Obama was running for his second term against Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney's son, through one of their little corporate shells underneath, you know, bought the voting machine company that was supplying the voting machines to Cincinnati. And thank God for the election judges. When they showed up, the election judges tested them out, and half of the machines were flipping the votes.
Yeah.
That made the local news here. I don't know why it didn't make national news. I don't know why somebody wasn't brought up on charges of trying to seditiously steal an election by jury.
Well, they had friends in high places that protected them.
Well, of course, we know that, don't we, Jack?
Yeah.
But
I'm talking about the everyday populace saying, I demand answers of why this was even came about.
But the point I'm trying to make, gentlemen, is this, that basically this week it has come out in national news that, I mean, before they had Comey, they had the Admirable, who apparently nobody likes anyways, who's a toady. And they had, what's his name? Starts with a C. Jeez, talk about your senior. The NSA chief sat down, and it seemed like they were carrying water. They weren't comfortable speaking publicly about whether or not Mr. Trump was involved with Russians or had any collusion or yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. People saw all this, and a lot of folks can take it who are Trump supporters that, you know, there's nothing there, and Comey's a liar. But that's not how the majority of the country took it. This week, the majority of the country shifted. I don't know if you felt it. It was like wind in the sails on another level. But the majority of the country, wait a minute, what the F?
Yeah.
I mean, that happened. Yeah. People went, oh, my God, that much, that far? Any fool can sit back and see what kind of idiot Trump is right now, if you ask me. It's just, he's my kind of fool to a lot of haters, to a lot of authoritarian people who don't have the gumption to reach out and slap the boy next to them. They just want to do it all their lives long. These people have been called, I call them the core of support for Trump. And again, I will say one more time, again, this man did not win the popular vote.
Absolutely not.
No, of course not.
No.
He was
talking about people sitting up and taking notice. On Fridays, I go out for a little walk, and I always stop into this one music store. The guys that are working there are great. Here in the Gahanna area, it's called Music Go Round, a little plug for them. And they said that they had in the store the live broadcast going on as they listened to it during the working hours. When I saw them on Friday morning and I came in, they told me, said, Wayne, said, it's incredible. I never knew Trump was in so deep with that much corruption. Helmy pointed it out. It's obvious that there is something here that Trump has, basically they're saying Trump has committed treasonous actions against this country. What the hell do we do?
Okay, thank you, Wayne. There you go. If my mother was sitting here, or my father, or my Uncle Alex, who only crossed a little while ago, who was a freaking CIA operative, who hated the government, by the way, for most of his life, they would all be going, what the hell? It's treason.
It is.
It is. That's exactly right. I'm not right. You can't paint it with any other word. It's simplistic. It's accurate. There's nothing else needs to be said. They committed treason against this country. The Rosenblums, who during the McCarthy era, that were put to death because they were working with the Russians, they have more evidence on Trump now than they did on the Rosenbergs.
Yeah, somebody brought that up. A good old New York friend of mine brought that up this week. And it is quite true. I will say this. While I've always been a liberal Democrat, very liberal, I've always had a background of country, honor, duty, conservative upbringing. But my Republican family was always about, what you have is privilege. Because of what your community provides, and you owe them, they don't owe you. You owe them.
Right.
And you owe your country. And that's not about military. That's the other part of switching this from such a strong patriarchal view to a more balanced view, a mother love view. You owe your country because you want to. You want to heal. You want things to be good for your neighbors. You want people to enjoy an income. You want people to be healthy. You want things to be balanced. You don't want the world at war, you know?
You want progress and you want fairness, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's technology.
Well, when everybody gets an even break and playing on an evening playing field, I'm talking about from the lowest income earners, the working middle class, to the best of the best on there,
mm-hmm.
right? When everybody's playing on an evening field and everybody's got an equal chance of their own success, everybody benefits. That is being heavily skewed into one direction, and it's not anybody, it is below anybody plus below the 1%.
I'd like to say something here, too, and I just, it's me getting my frustration out. I am so tired of ultra-leftists who are just plainly misogynist, who use judgment as a form of misogamy. You know, if you're for, I put up a thing this week on Facebook that was, you know, the Princess Bride was the general in Wonder Woman, and Princess
yes.
Leia became General Organa. And he wrote this one leftist fellow, and I didn't defriend him. He's actually a pretty nice guy with a lot of good ideas, but he's a communist. He's, you know, a intellectual lefty, commie, New Yorker kind of guy, which a lot of good ideas come in the crowd. And he said that, you know, it is a sad day when women, you know, are clinging to royalists and militarists to make an argument for progress or something like that. And I was like, all right, buddy, you don't want to fuck with me. Come on. You know, it's like, you know, I come at it. Yeah, but I always fall back before I type, you know, and I'm like, okay, be a lady. Be kind first, you know, which I was. I said, you know, listen, there's always, and this is the truth, socially and economically, there is always going to be a hierarchy because without it, there is chaos. And that's just the truth.
Yeah.
I, you know, come on, theology 101 or civic. 101 in theology. Yeah, that's the other problem. But it was just stunning to me that this guy had to, you know, go off on a large paragraph rant on how women are, you know, not the answer and communism is kind of thing. And I'm thinking, yeah, I need a committee to tell me what to do with my life.
I'm going to say, for all the listeners, I am truly a capitalist. Capitalism does work with checks and balances because capitalism, pure capitalism on its own, can rapidly become predatory capitalism.
Well,
and that's what we're kind of dealing
with
right now. We're trying to push for predatory capitalism.
Well, Jack,
profit at all costs. As long as they get profit, they don't give a damn.
I'm not really a socialist either, but I think we need a holistic social society to come to. And you can call that socialism, but I don't, because socialism includes, you know, some delegations that go beyond people's genuine desires and talents, in my opinion. But and I think people ought to be given whatever amount of road they're able to fill. In other words, if you can create industry that's putting back into the community and make large money doing it, bless your heart.
Well, let me elaborate on that, because I want to hold this man up as a poster child. The man's name is Elon Musk. You would know him as the Tesla automobile company and also SpaceX. Well, he went into Buffalo, New York, which was in dire need of industry, manufacturing, good quality jobs with insurance and stuff, took over some of those old defunct factories, and now he's producing solar paneled, but they look exactly like your conventional roof shingle or a tiled roof, like slate tiled roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the time that you install them and you get the payback of the electric, it's actually cheaper than replacing your traditional asphalt roof. He's hard, I think, $1,000 with the potential of $3,000 there in the Buffalo area alone.
Yeah.
It's all in the solar photovoltaics industry, which Trump is trying to stifle and squash. Right now, China is leading the world. We had been the leaders. We did used to, at one time, there out of San Diego, make the best and most efficient solar panels in the world. A lot of for the electrical infrastructure grid and things like that. Elon Musk is doing it per residential, and Trump is trying to kill it.
Yeah, that was big on the news today about how China over there, there were a few diplomats over there, and one was interviewed today, and he said China's laughing like hell at America right now.
Yeah, they're loving this.
They're
gaining all the global market shares because we've been mandated that we're not going to go this direction.
And
capitalism doesn't work with Trump and those cronies.
The truth is that where the money is, that's where the power will go. And that will be
exactly.
And let's not talk about how did you hear what the British community did? They put out over the net. I think it started on Facebook with a poster, and I published it. The Brits were, you know, Trump is supposed to make a trip over there. And the Brits are like, we're going to give him a big welcome when he hits London. You know, they're all planning to line the streets and moon him like William Wallace. They're like,
yeah, there you go. Right. That's right. And just this is some facts I do want to throw out. Speaking of China, is at beginning of the year, China had slated to build 103 coal-burning electrical power plants. But they have an issue of 2,000 people a day, 2,000 per day, dying of lung disease caused by industrial pollution.
Mm-hmm.
They canceled they're still a communist, you know, we control everything. They canceled all 103 new coal-burning power plants constructions and said, we're going everything to photovoltaics and wind. We are going green energy full bore.
Good.
And Trump and his Trump-tards think they're going to save this country by getting ourselves out of that global market.
It's petrodollars, and because Russia has so much petrol that they can, you know, it's just ridiculous, this Exxon thing. But the fact is that Asa took pictures of the sky when he was in China a few months back, and he said, Gwen, you'd be freaked out, you'd be fearful, and you would get the hell out of town. And that was that was in the capital, and that was outside the capital. And for China, this is not so much them being, you know, oh, we'll beat the Americans. It's about them surviving is what it's about.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're not doing it just to grab market shares. They're doing it for the health of their people because they do have, you know, a total health care over there that, you know, we're trying to get away from here, trying to stave off from a single-payer system over here. And they know that it's costing them money if they don't shift to these cleaner, greener environments. You're paying more in health care than you're gaining in burning coal.
Yep.
That's certainly true. And so it goes. Did anybody this week hear that not just the senator from New York who said fuck no, but what stood out in the questioning on the Senate Intel Committee to me was the new gal from California. She was told to back off with the NSA head and the admiral because, again, it's she's persistent thing. Whereas the men in the Senate never get held to that, women in the Senate and the Congress do. Basically, it's a misogynist kind of action that we've, you know, allowed for way too long to go on. There's a rule in the Senate.
Women are just getting too uppity on them.
Yeah.
She's asking for facts and truth, and that's just one of those little uppity moments from the little lady.
Yeah, well, Cameron went ahead.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic there, obviously. That is the mindset of the men, the grandpas in that Congress and the legislators.
They're all so old and moldy. It's just getting ridiculous. Mitch McConnell, and it was personified how old and decrepit it is by a guy I've sat down with and I actually like as a person, just have opposition politics to, is John McCain. Did anybody see that? He sounded senile.
Non-coherent statements and sentences and questions. When he got done, everybody looked around and said, what in the hell is he asking? What did he just say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. Well, what's sadder is that along people have thought Lindsey Graham and John McCain maybe had the backbone of Republicanism filling their boots. And basically, that's crap. It's utter crap. They got the backbone of themselves filling their boots. And
absolutely.
I mean, no, really, McCain used to be a very decent man. He was not, you know, I think that what happened to him in that first run for presidency really made a different person of him.
They swift voted him.
Yeah.
You know, the Republican, Karl Rove, you know, I use that term as a verb. When he was gaining popularity and it looks like he had a chance to beat W., well, he's crazy. He's all that time he spent in those Vietnamese jails. He's crazy. You don't want him. He's crazy. And they basically cut the knees off of him and made him fall so they could prop up W.
Wayne, they accused him of having an extramarital affair and a black daughter. That's what happened there. And it was
He adopted that young lady.
And this is the kind of, if I were John McCain, I would have thrown a fucking anvil at them, and I would have walked over to the side of independence, because he's not a Democrat. And I would have run, and he could have survived it that way. But he doesn't think so, because he's seen the machine stroke and bore for so long in D.C. That's the problem. It ain't Democrats.
Agreed.
It ain't Republicans. It's break the friggin' machine, and that's just why we're watching all of this so publicly, so spectacularly happen. Not just here, but did you watch Britain this week, guys?
Oh,
hooray for Britain. They finally woke up.
Way to go,
Jeremy
Corbyn.
We're not buying this con job bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, they're like liberal Dems over there, or neoliberals. The Corbyn they're very
they're anti-austerity. I know that much. That's great.
Right. Well, let me give you here's some hard numbers for the listeners. When they voted in Brexit, and okay, we're going to divest ourselves. We're going to become our own country, you know, and you know because all that European Union is all just stifling us and destroying us. Those who are living on retirement dollars, the value of the British money fell by 25%. So for every $100, you lost $25. If you had $1,000 in save, if you had $10,000 in savings for your retirement, you just lost $2,500 because of that vote alone. Nothing else, just that vote. Your retirement dollars lost that much in equity.
It's true.
People then stood up. And go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't have anything on that.
Okay. You know, that's what the problem is. That's where they finally woke up and said, oh, wait a minute. There's consequences to this. you know, I was voting for nationalism and good old boys, and, you know, I want to make my country great again, and yada, you know, that same bullshit they sold here. But when they actually saw what the financial repercussions were of, I'm losing $2,500 for every $10,000 I had saved in my retirement, that's a big hit on the everyday working man trying to just live out their golden years with him and his wife.
Well, I think the neoliberalism dream is just about dead. It's finally been recognized as a bankrupt philosophy, that all it does is it makes the rich richer and the poor poorer, and it screws the average person very badly. And I think people are all across the world are fed up with it, and they don't want any more of it.
Well, let's take a look at our own country. I keep telling people here that, oh, yeah, we want Trump. I vote Republican because I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
I said, well, number one, that's
They're
a generalized statement, because everything conservative is not good.
It's reactionary.
As a matter of fact, there was an elderly, two elderly men that were making these comments to me back home in Maryland. I said, are you on Social Security? Are you on Medicare? Well, of course, I'm like 75 years old. I said, do you know that right now in the bill, the platform of the Republican Party coming out of Cleveland was they were going to end Social Security, they were going to end Medicare, and the third one was they're going to take all state and federal parks and sell them off to private interest.
Yeah, disgusting.
They want to end your Social Security. You paid into it your whole life. I paid into it my whole working life.
Exactly.
And now it's coming time when I'm, you know, 64 and, you know, be hopefully retiring here in the next 6 years, that they're going to end my Social Security, which was all planned in my 401k and my retirement planning was Social Security be there. My medical insurance, because trust me, at 64, I've got some pre-existing conditions.
Oh, yeah.
I said, they were going to end Medicare and try to throw me on a private system? I couldn't afford the insurance.
Yeah, this privatization.
This is why
that
single-payer kind of system of protection of your elderly to finish out their golden years, because they, you know, you were productive, you served this country well. I am a last of the Vietnam vets. They sent me down to South America to fight communists, and now I'm getting ready for my retirement years. You want to screw me?
Well,
and there's people standing on the sidelines cheering them on like they think they know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
okay, I'll get off my soapbox now, Gwen.
but you know what? The sad part about it is there's still an ignorant part of America that'll call you a nasty, why, Wayne, you big Tommy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't know it. Oh, these people also said, the only ones that are truly supporting Trump are the Klansmen. And one of them leaned forward and said, and I'm damn proud of that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Oh,
you know, just.
Well, there are a number of things out there that are happening that are dangerous, and one of them is an assault on net neutrality. They want to completely privatize the internet to the point where they're going to favor Verizon and AT&T and the big providers, and they want to do it at the expense of the smaller users. And that's not right, and we've already had a big debate on it. We thought we settled it last year, but it didn't happen. Instead, they're bringing it up
die,
again,
Jack.
And they're going to try and institute
it. Come back.
Yeah, they're going to try and institute it very sneakily.
Jack, here's the real big problem with that. Huge money. Think of Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
If their customers cannot get to them by a easy access means, that means affordable, their business will go into the shitter so effing quick that will drive them, and they know that. There's more to this than I think it's like a political football myself. I don't think it's going to pass. I think that the last time they came to their senses, it was not them coming to their senses, and it wasn't so much the recoil of so many net users that made them stop. I think it was more or less the financial community realizing, I mean, Donald Trump owns all these hotels and stuff. How does he think people are going to make their reservations? Well, he probably thinks they'll pay a fee for that too anyway. But
yeah.
Well, that's
another example.
You know, Gwen, to elaborate and kind of bolster up what you just said there about companies like Amazon or the online companies will be the voice that keeps this in check, is look at all the brick and mortar stores that are failing because the generation of my daughter and son-in-law, you know, the mid-30s, early going into the early 40s, you know, my daughter really doesn't go to a store and shop and look like my wife and I did, or, you know, or my mom and dad
did.
They
buy online.
They go online. They go online, say, oh, yeah, this is a good price. I'll go ahead and click that. If it doesn't fit, I'll send it back, and it's all on their dime.
Yeah, it's true. I agree with that. But it's also, you got to remember, too, it's in the big city centers, Manhattan, suburbs, Rochester, Buffalo, not Buffalo, places like Dallas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, people still go to the big stores. Yes, they do, because that's where they find, they might be enticed to go there by an online special, but they go into the store to pick up that online special. They've figured out some ways to keep the traffic coming. And let me tell you what, if you're going to go in and buy, especially from a place like Neiman Marcus or Bonwits or anything like that, and they're still going strong, Lord & Taylor, you are going to go and see what you can get offline, and you're walking into the store. Believe me, you're walking into the store to make that purchase, because that's too much money to walk in and not, or to buy online. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
for the
let me give you. I was going to say, here in Columbus, they're having some real serious issues. There's an area called Easton, E-A-S-T-O-N, here in Columbus. This is where Les Wexner, Victoria's Secret, who owns Victoria's Secret, and he used to own the Limited, but the investment bankers bought him out about 10 years ago. Abercrombie & Fitch headquarters right here. All those stores, except for Victoria's Secret right now, have basically closed their doors.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't showing up. They're buying offline.
Right.
And matter of fact, Lex Wessner, when Paul Ryan, remember what I was telling you about Paul Ryan coming out here to Columbus, and they diverted his path because less than 24 people had signs out at the intersection where close to where I work. They wanted him to do it. Well, he was actually, one of his stops was to go see Lex Wessner, the guy who owns Victoria's Secrets, because he's into back taxes up to like several million dollars.
Yeah.
Property taxes, business taxes, things like that, because the cash flow wasn't there for him to pay his taxes.
Well, what
they didn't elaborate too much more on that, but that's what came out on the news, that he was going to, you know, Paul Ryan was going to stop in and see Les Wexner about his concerns of his back taxes.
What they have left is their brands, but still, online service is like, and people walk in. I know someone who owns a business, and she provides to specific industry, rental, and they make arrangements online for convenience, but they come in to pick the goods up because it's rental, and it's high-end stuff. So there's the branding. And there's still those centers where people are going to go to the store because they've figured out how to lure them in. We're at the top of the hour, gentlemen.
Well, all I can say is keep pushing forward, everybody. We can't look backward any longer. We got to keep
pushing
forward.
Very good, Jack. I mean, Glenn, this has been a really, really good show. I hope our listeners tell others to listen in and tune in, because there was a lot of good information that was passed on in this show today, and that everybody needs to make sure that this word gets out. Our democracy, our country depends on this.
Yes. Well put, Wayne. Very well put. Well, Gwen, thank you for everything this week, and everybody, happy Father's Day next week. I won't be with you next week, but I'll wish everybody a happy Father's Day. I'm going to be with my 95-year-old father. And
good for you, Jack. Good
you
for
bet,
you.
Buddy.
God bless you, sir.
Yeah, and you're a father, Wayne, so happy Father's Day to you and all the listeners out there who are fathers.
So I will be with you, Gwen. I will be with you next Friday or next Saturday.
Well, actually,
all right, good night, all.
Good night. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell at the Saturday Afternoon Post online. Just Google it. You'll find him. It's sponsored by Daughters of Isis online, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. I thank you for listening, and happy Father's Day out there. Thank you, Jack.
Yes, thank you, Gwen, and happy Father's Day to all the people you know who are fathers, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Have a great week, and keep pushing forward, everybody.